skidding to a stop in front of the blast door, he ignited his lightsaber and slashed through the lock mechanism. It began sliding ponderously open. There was a flicker of warning, and Luke spun around just in time to sweep the lightsaber blade across three incoming blaster bolts. The pirates from the storeroom, seeing their bottle squeeze about to fail, were charging full speed toward him, firing as they ran. Luke blocked two more bolts, the rest were going wide, and ducked through the still opening blast door into a wide corridor. The corridor's appearance was a surprise. Unlike the rough-hewn feel of the rest of the base, this area looked like it might have been transplanted straight from inside a capital starship. Smooth metal-lined walls formed a square cross-section about 4 meters wide, the corridor itself stretching 20 meters before ending in a T-junction with another of the more typical rocky corridors. The only light was the spillover coming from behind Luke and the similar glow from the far end. Even so, there was enough illumination to see that all the surfaces of the corridor, walls, ceiling, and floor, were covered with a decorative pattern of 3-centimeter diameter circles, spaced about 10 centimeters apart. The corridor itself was deserted, and Luke could sense no one skulking around the corners ahead. Apparently, he had indeed caught them off guard. But his danger sense was still tingling. Something about the corridor? Still, with two groups of enemies behind him, there was nowhere to go but through. Senses alert for a trap, he headed down the corridor. He'd made it 4 steps when, without warning, gravity abruptly reversed itself, sending him falling toward the ceiling. There was no chance for physical or mental preparation. His head and shoulders slammed into the metal, sending a jolt of pain arcing through him, the rest of his body tumbling down with a dull thud and more pain. He gasped for breath. The impact had knocked most of the air out of him. But before he could get more than half a lungful, he was falling again, this time sideways toward one of the side walls. He landed hard on his right side, a fresh stab of pain lancing through head and shoulder and hip as he scrabbled around for a handhold. But there was nothing to grip on the smooth metal. Stretching out to the force, he sensed the gravitational field starting to change again. And then his new floor suddenly became the ceiling again, and he was falling toward the far wall. But not toward flat metal this time. Twisting his head around, he saw that what he'd taken to be decorative circles drawn in the wall were in fact the heads of flat-tipped metal rods. They had extruded outward from the wall now, rising like a forest of blunted spears to meet his descent. Clenching his teeth, Luke reached out to the force and threw out his hands to meet the oncoming bars. With their tight spacing, there was no chance for him to slide between them. But if he could grab two of them and slow his fall, he could at least keep from landing on them at full speed. He caught hold of the two pointed at his face and chest, reaching to the force for the strength to slow himself. He succeeded, and for a brief moment held himself balanced over them in midair. And then, he was slammed onto them anyway, as a corresponding set of bars from the wall behind him jabbed hard into his back and legs, driving him forward. He grunted as the wind was again knocked out of him, trying to twist around against the forest of bars digging into him. But even as he struggled to work his left arm through the rods pinning it, 2 more sets of bars slid out from the floor and ceiling, slamming into his shoulders, head, and legs, and pinning him even tighter in place. There was another flurry of gravity changes that did little except jam every part of his body in random turn against the various sets of bars. And then, gravity settled back to its original vector, leaving him suspended, more or less, upright in the room.